The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
David Coley's chairman at Auto Harvest and also chairman emeritus, the Center for Automotive Research, University of Michigan North Campus Research Center. David, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
What on earth is going on at GM? We saw this better than forecast sales number and now this $8.5 million vehicle recall once again.
Well, I think, for example, I mean, recall mania is with us. Everybody's trying to get everything out. Of course, GM sort of was the lead. Now everybody's, where there's any question about a potential recall, they're getting it out, even though the frequency of a problem is extremely small. And in fact, one of the reasons that it was so difficult to find these things is that they were very, very low frequency. The other thing that I think is important here is that the products today, and this is GM and for the rest of the industry, are very, very strong. Quality is high universally across the industry. And I think the analysts were a little bit surprised with the relatively strong sales level in June. Most of them were really up more than expected. Some were a little softer. But all in all, what surprises me is the strength of this sales with still the kind of the overall funk that the economy is in.
So is this something that will ever hurt these big auto companies? It's interesting that so far, you know, sales remain so strong. That's what we saw a month ago, that even after GM had announced millions of recalls and getting ready to pay fines and terrible stories about deaths related to some of the more severe defects, sales continued to rise.
It really isn't a surprise. I think people are recognizing that these are past products and that the recalls, one of the reasons that they were not found earlier is that they're still very, very low frequency. For example, I think there were three deaths associated with this past 8 million or so. And when you compare that to the fatalities across the industry, that's an extremely small number. And one of the challenges that we have with these small numbers, it's really hard to tell the story. It's hard to get to the data that tells the kind of story that we have.
But, well, is it overkill, David, then? I mean, should they not be recalling these vehicles?
No, I think it's the right thing to do. In fact, this is true across the industry. You'll see more here from other manufacturers over the next month or so. Where there was a doubt, now they're going to do a recall. And in many other cases, the recall is very modest in terms of what has to be done. But in sort of recall mania, you want it all out there. And I think what happens by and large is that the customers are discounting this. And one way you see this is that a surprising number of people will not take their vehicles in to have them repaired at a dealer. The recall products, that's, you know, runs at about 80% they're brought in. So I think everybody knows that the quality of today's products universally across the fleet from Korean, Japanese, European, and American manufacturers is terrific. If you compare the vehicles of today to 10 years ago or 30 or 40 years ago, there's no comparison in terms of how safe and how good and effective these vehicles are. And I think the average person understands that.
So let's talk about the sales figures we're seeing today so far. Seems like finally the downturn, you know, caused by the financial collapse, the restructuring of the auto companies, sales back to levels that go along with a healthy industry and a healthy economy.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned earlier, it's kind of surprising in light of the bad news that we continue to see on the economy. We had hoped that at some point in this recovery, we were going to see growth up in the area of 4 or 5%, and was negative in the last quarter. And still there is need for products, even though the quality is up, the durability is much greater. We are increasing our population, and the need for individual mobility is still extremely high. Another thing that's kind of hard to look at when you make comparisons between manufacturers is what the incentives are between the manufacturers. A lot of this, one manufacturer may have a lot of incentives out there, rebates, things that would pull customers in, whereas others might not. So until you get down to the nitty-gritty of seeing what these incentives and so on are, it's really hard to tell, other than We're running at about a $16.3 million annualized rate based on the June sales. Looks like we'll be between $16 and $17 million for the year. And that would suggest that this auto industry is pretty much fully recovered from the chaos. Most people talk about the Great Recession, and the auto industry was a depression. We were about 4 million annual sales below what we had anticipated as a recession. So this has been a pretty amazing recovery, considering that we got down to a little over 10 million, and now we're up over 16.
What about things like, I mean, at the end of last year, didn't we see some incentives because car makers had just made too many of certain products that were sort of going out of style or whatever? Is that all gone and done away with now?
No, if you go back to the really old days, everybody kind of introduced their products in the fall, and you had year-end sales to do that. And it, to some extent, that exists today, but you're bringing new models in all the time. And the cars and trucks that are out there being made by the industry are really fabulous in terms of execution. My background happens to be in engineering, and I taught courses in automotive engineering, vehicle dynamics, powertrain at the University of Michigan for many years. And so we've looked very carefully at these products, and the execution today is absolutely unbelievable. And in fact, when you look at a typical car, it's no longer a mechanical system. It's an electromechanical system that is incredibly well executed. Mm. And I think people understand that. And if you go back 50 and 60 years, cars wore out after about 100,000 miles. Now, a couple of 100,000 miles is almost routine for many people driving cars because the corrosion protection is so much better.
Spoken like a true engineer, David.
Yeah, but what about the future of autos then? Is it electric cars? Is it fuels? Or is there a role still for gasoline?
I wish I know the answer. Knew the answer, and a little over a year ago, I chaired a session at an international powertrain conference where we had all the leaders of the auto industry powertrains there. And the answer is, we don't know the answer. Electrification, pure electrics, hybrids, diesels, traditional gasoline. It's a work in progress. Right now, anything with a battery in it, pure electric or hybrid, has got real problems with cost of the battery. It's a lithium battery, and these numbers might, but you look at the energy in a battery, we talk about kilowatt hours, and it's about $800 a kilowatt hour. It needs to get down to around $200 or $300 a kilowatt hour for this industry to really take off in terms of electrification. Another big issue is that we don't know what's going on in what could happen in the fuels area, particularly what we call the non-food biofuels. And if this would be using relatively new carbon versus fossil carbon, and so environmentally it's more acceptable. There are some forecasts that could suggest that we could get down to around $2 a gallon at some point. We're not anywhere close to that now, but if we get to that point, we might kill off electrification because of fundamentally a liquid fuel is extremely desirable because it has such high energy density compared to compressed gases or to batteries. So it's the wild, wild west in powertrains because we don't know the answer, and anybody suggests that they do, they probably really haven't studied it that carefully.
Speaking with David Cole, chairman of Auto Harvest. He's with the University of Michigan at a research center.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.